What up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nerd Gym Report. I'm your host, Pablo, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Brian Schultz. Ridley Scott, man, is a genius when it comes to making movies. Prometheus, I still watch it, Brian, when it's on. I just thought it was dope. And he did, obviously, did Gladiator. He's done quite a few films, Brian, that when they're on, The Martian, he has a bunch that when it's on, you watch. And he said something that baffled me. Not in the sense that, like, I'll say, this is what he said. Ridley Scott says that this is, Gladiator 2 is the best film that he's done. Brian, I don't know how to receive it other than possible BS, or he's just trying to, you know, promote this movie. I don't know, Brian, but better to me, this Gladiator for me is still number one. It is a masterpiece.
Okay,
Brian, your thoughts? What? First of all, what's the quote? And your thoughts on this talk of this is the best I've ever. Come on, when Michael Jackson said, and this was like way past his prime, he said, "You ain't seen nothing yet." We had already seen it. It was like, come on, Michael, really? You can't do any more than what you've done. And that was it. I think we're falling around in the same realm of what Ridley Scott is saying here. Like, Gladiator 2 is the best film he's ever done. Brian.
It's literally what he said, quote, "It's the best thing I've ever made, and I've made a few good ones," end quote. I mean, normally you hear this quote from the producer, you hear this quote from the studio head, you know, remember all the quotes about how The Flash was the best superhero movie ever made, right? Like, for the director himself to say it, it is a little unusual.
Yeah.
So, and I would say the trailer doesn't give me a lot of hope that that's true. Like, I definitely want to see the movie, but yeah. I don't get the sense of eternal classic from the trailer. But it's interesting that that's the opinion. Okay, so that, yeah, I think part of it's hype. You know, maybe part of it's that Ridley Scott is like 86 and it's amazing he's still working at this level, but maybe he has those senior moments too. But I mean, okay, so he's made a lot of movies. But yeah. I think there's a pretty clear top five. So maybe the better question is there a chance Gladiator 2 cracks the top five?
All right, so you give me your top five and I'll try to think of top five.
Okay, I think the top five is for him is pretty clear. So I think the top five is Alien, Blade Runner, Thelma and Louise, Gladiator 1.
Mm-hmm.
And The Martian. To me, that's the five. I would give Prometheus an honorable mention for its originality, but I think that's the five to me that will last. Like, when you're looking at the library 100 years from now, I think all five of those movies will be in there.
Yeah. I can't think of any other films that he's made that I would possibly put up there. Prometheus, again, is an honorable mention because I enjoyed the story, the effects, everything about it was really, really well done.
Because like he's got some other, like my other honorable mention would be the director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the past before.
I think that's amazing.
I still haven't seen it, but you really give it a lot of praise for the director's cut.
Only the director's cut. But then, like, you know, then that next tier down, you know, I think some people would say, like, I enjoy Black Hawk Down. I don't think it's in that top five, but that's a very well-made movie.
Yeah, a lot of people like that one.
You know, but then, you know, he's got some stuff at the other end of the spectrum, too.
Certainly.
Like, you know, like Tom Cruise in Legend, that's kind of rough. Like,
uh-huh.
Exodus, Gods and Kings, that's pretty rough. You know, so he's... You know, he's all over the place. My biggest disappointment.
Napoleon.
Oh, interesting. That would be up there. My biggest disappointment was actually American Gangster. Because he had Denzel and Russell Crowe at the height of their power. to me, that movie should be in the top five. And it's just not there. It's just not quite that good. But on paper, that movie looks to me like it should be winning Oscars, making money, and we're watching that movie for 100 years. And it's just not quite there. I agree with you. Napoleon was a pretty big letdown. But I felt like, you know, Exodus, Kingdom of Heaven in the theater, Robin Hood, he's botched epics.
Oh, yeah, Robin Hood.
He's made great epics, and he's botched epics before. So I wasn't totally shocked. Especially when I saw Joaquin doing an American accent, I was like, ugh. I was like, we might be in some trouble here.
When I started reading about Napoleon and how he had trouble with his one of his accents, and this dude didn't even like, nah, I'm not even going to do that. That just was like, forget it, I'm out.
So, but do you think Gladiator 2 could get in that top five or on the Mount Rushmore? Do you think that there's enough in this story to get it there?
It's tough with sequels,
right?
It's tough with sequels, even though it can be done. James Cameron, Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, that's the aliens like that. He's the one guy that can do it, basically. Well, I shouldn't say that. Lucas did it with. I mean, Empire Strikes Back would count. Dark Knight would count, but like,
yes,
it can be done.
Yeah. The problem here is that what we've seen in the trailer is not like we haven't seen before. It's just being done differently. Different set of events, different time period, different actors, obviously. But I don't know how much better you can retell this story. There's certainly going to be some twists. Obviously, you have great actors like Pedro Pascal. You have quite a cast here, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
My only concern, and I think the concern of everyone who's seen the first Gladiator, will be how different will this be and how much better the performances will be. Can you bring us back to that magic when everybody's chanting Maximus, Maximus, and then it just stops. And this dude is just signing his signature, being very vexed.
Yeah, vexed. I love that. So I think you're right. I think that the place you have to start is, can the combination of Paul Mescal, Denzel Washington in this form, Pedro Pascal, and you know whoever else is in the two brothers who are playing the evil emperor in this, can the total of that approach, match, or exceed Russell Crowe, Joaquin Phoenix, Connie Nielsen, Richard Harris, you know, and honestly, this was one of those where like they nailed the little roles, like Oliver Reed as Proximo, incredible performance, died during the making of the movie.
And you can see they did a Crowe thing on there.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And then when he's killed at the end, it's not him, right?
It's
But then like, even they had, Damon Hansu as,
and he will be returning too.
Right, but he was great in that role. Ralph Moeller, who was the bodybuilder playing the bigger Gladiator, thought he was excellent. So they nailed all the little roles as well. The senator who had played I, Claudius in the PBS show, that Gracchus, I think his name was. So like they had all of these characters nailed. That's probably where you have to start. And I'm just like, you went 100 over 100. Like, how are you beating that with this?
With another 100? I mean, there's certainly more spectacle, right? But again, it's like you're just trying to outdo what you just did, and can you do it?
But
that's certainly the question.
But Gladiator 1, you know, Russell Crowe's an interesting career, but for those 5 or 6 years, like that's as good a 5 or 6 years as any actor submitted in the last like 30 years. That stretch where he was doing like The Insider, like Gladiator, Beautiful Mind, like everything that guy touched.
Did he do L.A. Confidential before Gladiator?
Before. So that's the one that starts the run. It's from L.A. Yeah. Confidential through like A Beautiful Mind.
Yes.
He's as hot and as consistent and as brilliant as any actor had been. And then they catch Joaquin Phoenix at the start of what becomes a legendary career. And like they're obviously hoping. They're like, hey, we got Denzel. Although I don't think they're not getting prime peak Denzel. And he's not trying for that in this movie, clearly. But they're betting on Mescal. They're betting on Paul Mescal as like he's the Joaquin, right? We're catching him at the same moment where he's going to go on to win Oscars and be a megastar. And that's how we can. And then we've got Pedro Pascal, who's a bankable, like very reliable, like kind of, you know, A-list guy now. But I don't know. It just looks too disjointed. It looks like it's trying to do too many things to me to be what Ridley Scott says is his best movie. Like, that's an all-time movie, right? That's not like, if Zack Snyder says his best movie, I'm like, all right. Like, you made some decent ones, 300. Good. But, you know.
I have to put asterisks on those before we move on. I got to put an asterisk on 300 and Watchmen because he ripped exactly.
Frank Miller.
He ripped that story. He just visually told it in a beautiful way, and he didn't change the story. And I think that's what made it so great.
Yeah.
But when he goes off on his own, that's we get whatever. We get River Moons. We still have to do that show anyway. So Gladiator 2, the best film. I don't know if this is a Winter Soldier play, trying to just throw it in your brain so that you can go in with that expectation. But best film is going to be... I'm trying not to go into this film when I go see it, Brian, thinking that. I'm trying to just go into there just to watch a good film.
A good sign for them, though, and this is kind of tangential, but we can wrap up with it. I think the momentum of the summer box office, which took a while to get going, it looks like people want to go to the movies this fall, and there are not a lot of big movies. So tracking numbers for Beetlejuice, that is supposed to open north of $100 million in the U.S.
I had asked you, what is it tracking? And I said over 100, and you said 80. Now it's tracking over 100.
I saw the tracking for Joker 2, which we talked about saying, hey, there's no chance it's going to match the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the opening weekend tracking now is between 135 and 150. Now, it may not hold the same, because that last movie kept going. Once they got the awards buzz, everyone kept going to see it.
Yeah.
But that is a massive open. That's not quite Deadpool and Wolverine, but that's a hell of a lot closer to that level than I would have ever thought. And if you look at the placement of those two movies, they kind of have like 3 and 4 weeks to themselves in terms of adult movies. A lot of kids' movies this fall. Mm-hmm. Gladiator's around Thanksgiving. Not much else there. So that could be a big open. That could be a thing for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. There is no Avatar this December. There is no Harry Potter at Christmas. Like, so, you know, this movie sounds like it's ridiculously expensive. It might be hard to make money, but there's a chance that like people are going to be fired up to see this, especially in the opening weekend, and see if Ridley Scott was lying or not.
Oh snap! That's. But Brian, because we're on this genre of not talking about superhero films, let's real quick talk about Michael Mann's Heat 2.
Oh my goodness!
I didn't know about this until I saw it in Instagram, and he's saying that this movie is going to probably be like 3 hours in length. What are your thoughts on having a classic, Brian?
Because Heat. Oh my God.
Is one of my favorites. We might
have to do a show about Heat at some point, just because it's not a superhero movie, but it actually kind of, some of the characters have a little bit of the DNA of that, let's shall we say. Well, the first one was 3 hours, in fairness.
Okay.
And was a hit, but not like a mega hit. It's become more of a hit through VHS, DVD, TV rewatch.
Classic almost?
Oh, it's a classic. No, it's a classic. But like, okay. It took a little while. It was a slow burn classic.
Yeah.
But the way this worked, if people haven't followed this story, it's really interesting. So Michael Mann actually wrote a book for Heat 2 that he published. They wrote a full novelization. And the novelization is basically like, it's kind of like The Godfather 2 in the sense of it goes backwards in time and forwards in time. So he revisits the characters in their early days and then brings it back to kind of what would now be the present, which of course is the future relative to Heat 1. So So the novel looks
so they're playing the same dudes?
So the two thrusts of the novel are they explore Vincent Hanna and Neil McCauley, Pacino and De Niro, mm-hmm. in their early days where they're rooted in Chicago, which
okay.
that's where Michael Mann got the inspiration. So there's some individual Chicago, there's an individual Chicago thief and the FBI agent who chased him in real life that Michael Mann used as the basis for the two characters you see in the movie, which is in set in LA.
Okay.
The book follows them in their early days. The book also takes Val Kilmer's character, Chris Chehalis, and follows what happened to Chris after he didn't go up to the apartment to get arrested. And so it goes forward.
Got it.
And so what the longstanding rumor has been that Adam Driver will play the young Neil McCauley,
uh-huh.
as he was in Michael Mann's Ferrari, and apparently they had a great time working together, and that Austin Butler would play Chris Chehalis, the Val Kilmer character. We've not heard yeah. anything about the Hanna character, but those are the two actors who have been attached, and that's been fueled by there were if you find on YouTube, there's video of Austin Butler like training in the desert to like shoot and handle a handgun, and he looks an awful lot like if you look at the way he's moving, and then if you remember the way Val Kilmer handled the weapons in Heat, they look very similar. And so a lot of people believe this is he's prepping for that. And Michael Mann's saying this movie's been greenlit and he's going to shoot it within the next 12 months.
Oh, nice. Interesting. Very interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I will be there to see it. I just, to your point though, a 3-hour Heat sequel in this climate of film, I'm not sure how big the audience for that is. I'd be very curious. He's got some, if he has Austin Butler and Adam Driver, he's got some younger stars who I think matter.
What sort of budget are they looking for to do?
Well, not mega. I mean, this would be more like in the 150, like 100, 150. Because it's not an effects-based story, right? You're not going to space, like all that sort of stuff. This is very realistic. And it's
so
not
you make like 400 or 300, 300 or 400 million on this.
Yeah, but it's going to be rated R for sure.
Yeah,
So you would need probably 400, I think, for this to be a success. And then you're betting on awards. You're betting on awards nominations for somebody in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know in the comment section below what you guys think of this storyline for Heat 2. I'm interested.
There's so many great lines in Heat 1. The script is like, can they come up
with... I got to get this book now.
Yeah.
So I can read it.
For me, the action is the juice. All right, Tom Sizemore.
Oh, man. Yeah, let us know in the comment section below what you guys think, and we'll see you next time on the Nerd Jet Report.